So hey everybody, thanks for joining us live. I am here with the Jason Hodge, and today we're gonna go over our post-event, or we're not going over it, we're doing our post-event deep dive. So if you've been following along, Jason has done an introductory interview, he's done an masterclass, an Event Innovator Insight Session masterclass, he's done a workshop. And today we're going to go over all of if Jason would be interested in doing all of this again another time. So let me tell you some of the stuff that we're going to go over. I pushed the button too fast. I'm trying to read the what is it? The description for today, Jason.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So this is a wrap up session as we reflect on Jason's journey through his event series. I think I just said most of that already. So in this post-event deep dive, we're evaluating strategies, presentations, engagement techniques that Jason's approach to media architecture, storytelling, the cube, all of that. We're going to discover what could be refined and how Jason's expertise in storytelling and content presentation resonated with attendees. We're going to go behind the scenes to see insights of the workshops, the panel, I guess not the panel discussion, sorry, just the workshop, the interview and the masterclass. And we're going to, I guess, give our personal opinions on how well we thought it went. So you ready for all of that, Jason?
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah, I'm good. All right. I'm excited about it. Okay. So we're going to start off with personal reflection questions. Looking back at the full, I guess, I want to say it's a four-part series, but we can't count today. So I'm just going to say the full three-part series. What moment stood out most to you as a breakthrough or turning point?
Was there for me, I would say that after the workshop, the feedback after the workshop was invaluable to me. Absolutely loved that. I also appreciated being able to work with you directly on your things, because to me, it makes it real, as opposed to just giving a bunch of random ideas or concepts to show folks this is how this works and unpack it. I think that adds value. So I did appreciate that as well.
Really enjoyed the, I can't even say it now, I want to call it the after party.
The after party, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. My favorite part was the question and answers also. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get it until that part. And you know how I feel about repurposing. So if you guys are with us today, and you got to let me know if you're with us, I took Jason's transcripts from each event, and I asked Dee for a checklist. So since you were helping me, Jason, that really broke things down for me. And those checklists are nice. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I know I give you a lot of stuff. If you check your folders, they're in your folders. They're in your Google Drive folders.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but now I'm excited. You know, that would be a great lead magnet, Erica, for folks to jump into virtual summiteers.
Yeah. And to get introduced to the BSAT.
Yes. The BSAT, I'm telling you, that right there is a game changer. I absolutely love the BSAT. I have seen it transform lives and careers over the years that I have used it, walking people through it. It is absolutely amazing.
Believe so. Okay. Was there anything that surprised you during the process, either about the tech, the audience, or even yourself?
I don't know if it was anything that surprised me. I've been doing this a while, we all have. So tech issues never surprised me. I kind of expect them. It's just a matter of how early do they show up so that we can get past them quick enough. So, no, nothing surprised me.
Okay. Hooray. So you guys don't know this, and if you host an event, it probably doesn't matter. I think I thrive with the post-event stuff, with the repurposing. You're not going to know if anything's going to go wrong unless you just hear it from me. So we had a lot of tech problems. And I still love OneStream Live, and a lot of the Virtual Summiteers peer group members do not care for OneStream, but I still use it because I really feel like it's gonna work, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hard time. But Jason didn't mind. Jason, he just rolled with it, and it was all right. And you guys won't know that because I still use OneStream Live, and it can still make post-events, replays, recordings go live at any time I say, even though it's a recording. So
I like that part about it. Yeah. I love that about it. I love that about it. So I'll keep it positive. That is one thing that I love about OneStream Live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So our mics didn't work. Again, you guys wouldn't know that because it's a post-event thing, and you can just edit things out. We can laugh about this stuff now, but we had a lot of trouble, but it worked out. And it was like, another thing. If we don't go live within 15 minutes, we can't go live. That part sucks, but again, you can upload the recording and it'll go live when you say it goes live.
Right.
So that's a really good thing.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
And what was good about that, Jason, is that it didn't bother you.
No. I think when you do this enough, you expect it and you just kind of roll with it. And it becomes great war stories.
Yeah. It's like a relief when it's over with, because the content that you gave, it was amazing. People did enjoy it. Nobody said, hey, you didn't go live at this time. I saw this at this time.
Mm.
So I'm thinking it worked out because I didn't hear any complaints.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah. Okay. If you could do one part of the series differently, what would you change and why?
Mm. You know, I'm a very hands-on person, so I would change the level or the amount of questions that were coming through. There wasn't really any questions coming through until the very end of the workshop. Then we got into questions, and I absolutely love that. During the workshop, because I come into workshops and masterclasses with the idea that there are going to be questions and dialogue, then I don't tend to talk or to set things up to talk at people. I can, but I prefer to know that when I walk away and attendees walk away, that they've gotten things that are going to be able to immediately build their business. And that's how I measure success. When I don't get that, then I'm a little disappointed, because then I think, okay, I don't know if I've served them at the level that they need serving. I don't know if I, you know, if they caught what I was saying so that they can implement. And so then that's where it can be challenging.
Hey, I want to say that's my fault. That's how I set these up. I want them to see that we got brilliant speakers here, that you're giving out useful information, actionable information. I want them to feel bad that they're not here on Zoom with us. It's like,
I'm talking about.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. I'm talking about, you know, once when they're inside, the thing, although the folks who did attend live, you know, we've all dialogued before, so it probably was not something that they haven't heard before, or that they know that because we're all in the same community, the same mastermind, that we can dialogue about this anytime. So that would have been great, just knowing that there was questions that they were actively getting information from to grow their business. So, yeah, but I hear you. I hear you.
Yes, we're in a mastermind together. I didn't know that stuff until you told me. The people that was with us, they didn't know that stuff until you told us. Every time you talk with us, you tell us something new, and we're all, wow, he knew this stuff the whole time. So, yeah. So if the people are watching via the live stream, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's great. You're getting some information, but you're not going to get to talk to the Jason Hodge via chat, because sometimes I forget to look at the chat. Sometimes, like I said, I just uploaded the recording because I couldn't get it to go live at the first time. We're actually live right now on all of our platforms right now. It's nice when tech works.
Yeah, it
feels
is.
Good when
it
tech is. Works. I feel like I know what I'm doing when it works.
Exactly.
We did have some question and answers. That is my favorite part, when I stop the live stream and we just talk to people on Zoom face-to-face. We did get some really good questions. And even though everybody on Zoom with us wasn't into SaaS, they still got some takeaways from it.
And that's key for me.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody can get some takeaways, then I feel that it's successful. If folks leave, they're just kind of glazed over. Not a success for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so strategic and storytelling questions.
Mm.
How has your approach to media architecture evolved throughout the series, or has it?
I don't know that it's necessarily evolved throughout the series. That is a never-ending evolution. And every time that I see or learn something new, I seek to integrate it in how I do what I do, whether it's streamlining or even if it's just building my own library of go-to things, whether it's prompts or techniques, standard operating procedures, whatever that is. I'm always looking at how to make things more efficient.
That because I too have my own Jason Hod video library. Yeah. I don't know if you knew this, but I totally do. Every time you give a talk, I have it recorded. So I have these playlists. Some of them are in on YouTube and some of them are on Ice Drive. Some of them are in a Zoom folder. But yeah. And it's really good to be able to go back and hear your talks. Because I learn something new every time. And I do believe that the media architecture is a growing skill because, yeah, something new every time.
Well, it's good to
Okay.
hear.
Which storytelling technique do you believe resonates most with your audience? And how do they land?
It all depends. Because I recognize that my audience is made up of a lot of different segments. And if I am operating inside of the nonprofit space, then, and depending on who I'm talking to, if I'm talking to volunteers or executive directors or donors or whatever, that's going to determine how I tell the story that I tell and why I'm talking to them in the first place. So, yeah, that's an it depends answer. There is no one way that I think is the best. It depends on what they're giving out, and then I'm going to respond to that.
Makes sense. And every time I've asked you to speak with us, you always say, "Who is the audience?" So yeah, that makes sense because it's helpful to know who you're talking to.
And what they care about, because if I'm going to talk about something that you cared nothing about, it's not going to solve any problem for you, then I'm wasting your time and I'm wasting my time. I'm just sitting here talking. But if I know that, look, these folks are coming in here and they're having some real big challenges when it comes to connecting with their donors, or real big challenges when it comes to connecting with their teammates or their admin team or their politicians, then my next set of questions are going to go down that road. Well, what is the problem? Well, they're just not being paid attention to. Well, did they ask the basic questions? Do they know what that politician cares about? Do they know what those team members, why they even came onto the team in the first place? Because if they don't know that, then that's where they're going to hit a lot of strikes. They're going to miss the boat. And so it's important that you do ask that basic question. What is it that you care about that what I have can solve?
Yeah, that makes sense. During our introductory interview, you had asked me what was something I didn't care about, or I think I went on a rant about people talking to me about their boats. Yeah, we have a lot of lakes here, but I could care less about people's boats. And when I'm on a live stream or a webinar, and people start to talk to me about their boats, I'm like, I didn't sign up for that.
And here's the part about that. If they can make that boat conversation relevant, then that would be okay. But if they're only talking about that because they need to floss, and if the audience is not looking for folks to floss, they're looking for information, they're going to lose their audience. But I bet you that if they found a way to tell that boat story where you could see how it fits into SaaS or fits into how you can grow your business, you'd be all eyes, all ears. You'd be leaning on, leaning in on it.
I guess I could see that. I'm right now, I think I'm having a hard time with it. They were trying to show me that it's okay to want things, and I just didn't want a boat.
Oh, so
Okay.
they were actually selling boats?
No.
Oh.
Okay. Here it is. curious.
I've got a boat story, but I won't tell it now because I'm afraid of what may happen if I tell the boat story.
They were talking to me about virtual events. They were talking to me about how any and everybody who wants to host a virtual event can if they wanted to. All they needed to do was put in the effort. And since they put in the effort, they got a boat. And I'm like, and?
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm moving on now. You emphasize message clarity using the club framework. What challenges did you face while applying it to your own brand during the series?
You know, actually, that is what helped me through the series. Because, you know, the questions are so basic, but when you dig into them, they provide all the profoundness in the answer that you need. What is it? What's its story? What's the story? Who cares? Who should care and who could care? I mean, it's easy to remember. And when you ask the questions, then it compels you to give the right answer, not just an answer. So yeah, that helped me tremendously because all I had to do was just keep on running that dance. 6 questions throughout the whole conversation.
If those 6 questions was like a product, I could see it on a 6-sided die. Just throwing that out there.
Totally. Totally. A matter of fact, that could be a great game.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
I could see that as a board game.
Oh, totally. Totally. That may have to happen now. Now that we're talking, that may have to happen. Okay.
Hooray, we have spoken into existence.
There
we need to write
it
down so it can be true.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
If it's written, therefore it's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, so for audience engagement and collaborations, what feedback or interactions from attendees had the biggest impact on your direction or delivery?
You know, not necessarily on the delivery because the feedback was after the workshop was done. But I loved the mastermind that we delved into after the fact and just talked about, you know, how to mine this, how to mine the workshops, how to deepen it, how to, you know, expand the impact. So I think that that was the most valuable portion for me in the whole series because it was feedback, not that I was taken from my own silo. Sometimes we can operate inside of our own vacuums, and that's probably one of the worst places to operate from because you can tell yourself, hey, things are great all day long. It's not until you get the feedback on the marketplace that is actually going to buy your stuff. And I don't necessarily mean give you cash. I mean buy into what you're doing. And so if they can give you some honest, unbiased feedback to where they say, hey, this is what worked for me, this is what didn't work for me, that gives you the tools that you need in order to build it out. And if they can tell you that and then let you know that, hey, if this were for sale, I would purchase it, that also is another indicator that you're on the right track. So for me, that ending of everything and the Q&A and the mastermind, that was perfect. Loved it.
Nice. Okay, so you know I'm nosy, and I love repurposing. Did you take the transcript and make a workbook?
I haven't made the workbook yet. I did take, I believe I took the transcript, and then I am breaking that down into a full-on curriculum.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this will be an, I either have the 4-week, I think it's a 4-week. 4-week curriculum, and where we roll up our sleeves and then use the cube to dive in and dissect the person's business model, their industry, and then the different segments of their marketplace. That coupled with the BSAT and they're getting their values down and being able to write from that perspective, that's the game changer. So, yeah, I am breaking it down into a full-on course. I will do a few more iterations of it before I launch the course, but, you know, it's in the works.
I'm still actually looking forward to that game, that board game with the 6-sided.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. Matter of fact, I may have to I'll put that on the television network and promote that there. It'd be a great collab. Yeah.
Okay. If you guys are still with us, I sent Jason a bunch of questions, but I like to get off subject because he knows I'm nosy. So I know you're doing the whole network. You're working with Junebug. You got your family. You're doing a whole bunch of stuff. What made you want to collab with me?
Well, I mean, aside from the fact that we're friends and, I've been inside of Virtual Summit Tears for many years now, I think that you've got a gift for bringing people together and for asking relevant questions. And I absolutely love your space and totally support you. So that, the strength of that, of who you are, tells me the answer is yes. So, yeah.
Hey, I really do appreciate you making time for me because I know you're busy and everybody wants some of your time. Okay, so how did collaboration, I probably just already asked this and I got off subject. How did collaboration with the Virtual Summiteers peer group shape the outcome of the series?
Collaboration, it definitely kept me on my toes because I know that we do have a lot of brilliant people inside of Virtual Summiteers, and that means that I needed to bring something to the table that maybe the members haven't thought about, or maybe they haven't thought about it in that perspective. So for me, it does push me to go that extra mile to make sure that I am bringing something that is of value.
Definitely did.
I'm happy about that.
Okay. Again, getting off subject and me being nosy. I want you to tell me the truth. Even though we're live, still tell me the truth. Did I give you too much? Did I ask for too much?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, no,
I
I
worry
don't think so at
sometimes
all.
that I do. I don't want to overwhelm people. Cause
No, I think you did a great job. And a matter of fact, the support that you offer in the midst of the series, and I've seen that, for all the time that I've known you, and you have grown in that to where your support is even more profound now than when I first met you. But you are dialed in and dialing in on making your guest experts really feel at home and supported. So I think you're doing an amazing job. The support that you bring with the graphics that you produce, the snippets, you really have taken this seriously, and what you do definitely builds people in their business and in the industry. So yeah, kudos to you, Erica. You are doing a phenomenal job. Really appreciate how you show up for your folks.
I do appreciate that. Okay. What advice would you give to someone who's nervous about hosting their first collaborative virtual series?
I would say don't take yourself so seriously that you forget to serve people. Nervousness comes when you are focused entirely too much on yourself. And it does not matter what you've got going on. It matters the value that you bring to your marketplace. And if you are imperfect in that bringing of the value, but it gets people solutions, they don't really care how you show up necessarily. They care that you showed up and that they got something out of it. You didn't waste their time. So I would say, yeah, focus on the service that you're providing, not yourself. And then this nervousness will go away. I have a saying, and it is service cures the nervous. And I found that to be true 100% of the time. You never see a firefighter stop before they go into a building and say, "Whoa, wait a minute, hold on. My shoes don't match my outfit, and my hat's got a smudge in it. Sorry, I can't save those lives from that burning building. I'm going to have to get somebody else who is a little bit more fashion forward before going into that building." They don't do that. They go in there, grab everybody, and they overcome the fear of the fire to get people out because they're totally in service. So that's how you have to look at it. What burning building are you rescuing people from? Because your knowledge is going to be the thing that saves their lives. It can save their careers. It can save their marriages. It can save their finances because of what you bring to the table. Focus on that and you'll be fine.
Like that. And especially the saying, service cures the nervousness. And that should be a t-shirt.
Yeah, service cures the nervous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're coming up with all kinds of products ideas, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been saying that for years. I remember years ago, I was on the military base. And I guess he was, a private or what have you. He was young. But he was deathly afraid of public speaking, being on camera. And I remember he had said, no, you know, I can't do that. I said, okay. I'm going to give you an exercise real quick, and we're going to cure this, like, right now. I said, are you open to that? He's like, I tell you, I'm not good at this. I said, no, we're not going to go down that road. I said, so are you open to it? I can show you something that is going to literally transform your life right now. And he's like, okay. I said, all right. It's a simple phrase. Service cures the nervous. I need you to be in service when you get this content. And I want you to tell me something that is going to help me now. And I turned the camera on. We were live streaming. And he spit that stuff out like that. It was, and when we finished, he's like, oh my gosh. I was like, yeah. I said, works 100% of the time. Service cures the nerves.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking ahead now. Do you plan to repurpose the content from this event series? If so, how?
Absolutely, and it's in a number of ways. I've been building content for over 20 years now, and every now and then I'll refer back to the old content because it helps with the origin story. You know, sometimes people think that you just arrived. Oh, he just arrived and he knows how to speak and all that. Now, there was a time where I was extremely nervous. There's a time where I didn't know what I was saying. I had a lot of stuff in my head, didn't know how to articulate it. And I believe that that's important so that when people think that they can't do it themselves, they get to refer back to the old stuff. So that's why I leave a lot of my stuff up, because I think that it's about freedom. If you can be freed from the shackles of your imperfection, because you could see the example of somebody who just left their stuff up, who's doing things that you want to do now, but you think that they've always been doing them, then I think that that is a tool. So I allow my content to be used as a tool so folks can realize that, yeah, he did this video, it's great information, but wow, that audio sucked or that video sucked, but I really got something from that information. It's like, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So if you guys don't know this about Jason, he's not really a fan of ChatGPT, but he knows that me and Chad are best friends. So I wrote the descriptions out beforehand, mm-hmm. and Jason's like, no, this looks like you talked to Chad. And I'm like, of course I talked to Chad. So he had to send me his own copy for each event. But this is the point I want to bring up. You didn't say anything about the blog post, the newsletters, or the emails, or the articles I wrote. And I wrote a lot of stuff. And yes, I asked Chad to help me. But
yeah, I wasn't going to beat you up about those things. I had a few things to say here and there. But I think that, look, we have to let everybody run their lane, you know? And yeah, we jest and stuff. And I use Chad every now and then too. As a matter of fact, I used Chat in the midst of the masterclass and the workshop. You know why I did that?
Because me and Chat are best friends, and you're helping
because
me.
Because people use Chat, you know. So I'm not going to say, well, I'm sorry. I'm just going to be an elitist about this. You can't use Chat. No. I want to show you then, if you're going to use Chat, here's how you can use it in the best way to get the most out of it. So that's why I demonstrated on Chat. I don't normally use Chat, but if you prompt it properly and you know what you're doing, you can get a lot out of it. And so for that, I was like, yeah, let's use Chat or whatever else that you throw at me.
Yeah. And you showed me a whole slew of ways to prompt Chat that I didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Look, and if folks decide that they want to jump into Virtual Summiteers, I think that training is in there. They can actually see a walkthrough real time on how you, when you're using AI, the key is to think it through. It's important that you understand the destination that you want to get to, because when you understand the destination, it predisposes you to asking the right questions in the right sequence, in the right way. And so what they got to see is walking through your journey as a SaaS support professional and how you would get in front of said SaaS people, SaaS executives, and then have the information that is going to let them know that you know what you're talking about. So we pulled statistics, we pulled demographics, we pulled psychographics, we pulled psychographics, we pulled geographics. You know, we delved in there, and then based on that, that can give you a great key or a key map of where you do your marketing, when you do it, how you do it, and why you're doing it. So you get to tell your story through that data. So I would say that, yeah, if you have a tool to use, just know where you're going to go, and then it'll help you to use that tool better.
Yeah. So we didn't talk about it, but I did think it was a good place to put together a portfolio. You know, I'm a graphic designer, and I do like my 10 to 12 pieces to show as a body of work. And when I looked at the list again that you helped me make, I'm like, I can build a portfolio out of this.
Totally.
And yeah, and I was happy about that.
Yeah, when you do it right, there's many purposes out of that. You can repurpose the results that you get as well. So that's a great repurpose for that.
Yeah. Okay, so what are your next steps when it comes to virtual events or digital storytelling?
Next steps would be to expand on the model, to work more with the syndication, segmentation. Segmentation is important because you've got one story, really, but you've got to be able to tell that story in a number of different ways. You have to understand how to switch up the styles in which you tell the story and how you inflect that story depending on who you're sharing it with. And you've got to have in the forefront of your mind what outcome that you want to gain from telling the story. I may tell you the story of an organization because I want you to support the organization. I may tell you the story of an organization because I want you to evangelize the organization. I want you to tell other people about the organization. I may want you to go working at the organization or volunteer. I may want you to partner with the organization. You know, so depending on what I want you to do is going to determine how I angle or pivot that story. And it may be just a 1 degree or a half of a degree pivot, but I need to know based on what you're saying, oh, this is the angle that I need to share with Erica for her to even put this organization on her radar. So I think that the storytelling aspect is going to be it's critical because you need to know how to extract from that one story a multitude of stories.
And it's very helpful to know how to do that. So useful.
Yeah, you just have to listen, I think. Because people tell you what they care about, and then you probe them more, you ask more questions, and when you're satisfied that you understand where they're coming from, then you engage in a dialogue. Prior to that, and that's the difference between pull marketing and push marketing. Pull marketing is I'm going to draw out of you the information that is going to tell me what you care about, why you care about it, and what you want to hear from me. If it's push marketing, I don't care about any of that, what I just said. I just start vomiting on you and just telling you, hey, look at this, look at this, look at this. And you're like, oh my gosh, what's happening here? So you got to be willing to listen. And that way you can hear the cues, the clues of what you need to know to engage that person and to serve them. Again, it's back to service. I need to serve you with information on what's going to be relevant to you.
Makes sense. So I'm not sure if you knew this or if it was because you knew me or know me. When I was going back through the list that you made for me, I saw portfolio that I could create. I saw the repurposing. I saw the automations that can come from that. Did that happen because you knew me?
You're talking about from the prompting or from?
Yes, from the prompting. Yeah.
Well, the way that I design prompts is I like it to be comprehensive. So the more that I work with the tools, whether it's Chat or Perplexity or any of the other AI, I tend to ask it questions that are foundational, far-reaching, and I ask it research things before. I give it criteria or parameter. And so I think based on the parameters that we established at the beginning and the prompts that we gave, that is what gave that breakdown of all of the things that could be done with it. And then embedded in that is this possibility, which happens to be that list and all the other stuff that you saw.
It's like, did we talk about this? Because I was wondering, like, did this happen because you knew me? Or is that just the way the questions were? So now I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when you create a persona for AI to work from, it's going to give you a different lens. So if I said that, okay, you're a research scientist, and then with this type of discipline, this type of strength, this many years inside of the space, and then I tell it, okay, now that you know this, okay, that's already contained. Now I need you to do this for me. Go and get this information, and I want you to format it in a way that is going to be usable when it comes to either creating a media kit or creating a presentation to multinational organization heads that would take your company global if they had the right information. What would that be? And then it can go out and pull that information. I mean, there's some other things that you add in there, but you go out and pulls that information and then packages it in a way that is going to be effective for that outcome that you just asked it to be effective for.
Nice. But, you know, I still believe that you're a marketing scientist and that you use the scientific method in your work. So I still do believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. Would you consider doing another event series? If yes, what would you do to raise the bar next time?
I would, definitely. And what I would do more than likely next time is to dig deeper into authenticity, mastering your authenticity, maybe mastering your message, because everybody's got a purpose. When you find what that purpose is and you live out that purpose, you don't have competitors. You don't have competition because you separate yourself from everybody else who's doing the quote unquote same thing. Nobody can do things the way that you do them when you are in your prime. That's your thing. And so I would create a series that had folks, instead of going so far out, it would cause them to go in. Dig in deep to know who you are, to know what you bring to the table, and then format the vehicle to bring that thing to the table. But you got to find out who you are first, what your purpose is.
Okay. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it'll be a hit spinner. Because I mean, it's going to cause you to have to really dive in and ask some questions and get uncomfortable. You will get uncomfortable with this series. And so. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, now I'm looking forward to it. So let me know when you got a date and time.
All right. I'll let you know.
How long is it going to be? Will it be like a cohort, or will it just be like we did here?
I think that this probably should be a cohort, because the level of vulnerability that you've got to embrace in this particular journey, you're going to be raw at times because you've got to really face your biggest challenge, your biggest obstacle, which is you. You've got to be willing to lay down the excuses that you have as to why things aren't working or why they're not working the way that you want them to work. And you have to look at what the common denominator is, and that common denominator is always looking back at you in the mirror. And then you have choices to make. Are you okay with that, or are you willing and ready to change that, to transform that so that you can actually live out who you were designed to be? Not everybody's going to be ready for that response because they've got a lot of tethers on them. And those tethers keep them from moving forward. I know I'm not talking out of the side of my head here because I have experienced it. And there are certain areas of my life where I still experience it, where I have choices and decisions to make. And so I'm making them now. So I understand the discomfort. So yeah, I would say that that would be the series that I would delve into, a serious one. And it's going to be a cohort that probably goes on for several months because people are going to come to their demons and like, oh, yeah, now it's time for you to exercise those things. Get victory.
That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've asked you all of my questions, even threw in some nosy ones. If there's anything you want to ask me, please feel free to do so.
Why do you do this? And not the, well, I want to help SaaS companies out, but the deeper answer, what is it that causes you to week in and week out put together series like this in order to bring to the marketplace?
Well, you know, I'm nosy, and sometimes I can't get this information until I go to the people. And I think it's so cool, so brilliant, so useful. I think other people are going to need to know this information too. So why don't I just put that out there for other people to find so I can share?
Love it.
I like meeting brilliant people.
Yeah, and you have a fear, and I've said this for years, you have a fearless approach to reaching out to any and everybody. What is that mechanism for you that causes you to do that, no matter who the person is, to invite them to your platform?
Again, still nosy. I can't help it. You know, you're little, your mama tells you that you're not supposed to talk to strangers. So I'm a little bit taller now. I was like, hey, it's my time. I can go out and talk to people now. So I do.
Right. Yeah.
I know that's a crazy answer, but superpower. It's like, I'm finally free to do so.
Yeah. I think that's your superpower, Erica, because you have consistently just reached out to people and I've seen it. And I think that that is something that, I mean, that itself may be a class where you teach people like what goes through your mind when you are about to reach out to somebody who others say, oh my gosh, they're untouchable. And you're like, yeah, reach out to them because I want them on my platform. You just kind of blow through all of that head noise and you reach out and then you bring people to your platform. So I think that that will be a great training to talk about that mindset piece.
You know, the worst thing that can happen is for somebody to say yes. Mm-hmm. And then you have to follow through with all the things you said that you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to actually show up at the time you said you were going to show up? Are you actually going to go live, or is this going to be recorded? Are you going to do all the things you said you were going to do? Mm-hmm. That's work. So I say that's the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing, or the easiest thing, is for people to say no. Then you don't have to do anything except for move on and ask the next person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I thoroughly enjoy these conversations. Thoroughly enjoy the folks that you bring to the platform. I learn a lot being inside of Virtual Summiteers. And it's one of those things that, you know, I know that it will serve anybody who decides to take the step and become a Virtual Summiteer. We get more than just learning different techniques and tools and platforms on creating virtual events and spaces. We get strategy that helps to build business in a number of ways. I mean, we've got literally some seriously brilliant people in there. I remember that I had the opportunity, Harry and myself, to interview Sabrina Pico. And amazing at what this woman knows, from technology to coding to the way in which she approaches breaking down a persona. It's a masterclass in and of itself, the conversation that we had on Mastering Your Media, the series. And Zakiya, the things that she does, the way that her brain works. I've known Zakiya for 10 years now, and just seeing how she moves and the way that her mind works, the way that she develops instruction, and also that she does it imperfectly, and you can't tell that it's imperfect. She can tell. So I think that surrounding myself with folks like that, you know, Harry, he's finishing up. I was just talking to him before we got on today, and he's finishing up his program, you know, in film and all of that, documentaries. And so he will be walking in 2 days. He's graduating in 2 days. And he's got projects that are already in the works, already working. And here it is. Yes, he's retired, but I always tell him, I joke with him, I said, you're the busiest retired guy I know. And we laugh That's about true. That. But I mean, he launched DJ Interview, and, you know, and he and I collaborate on a lot of projects together. He's got Veterans Laughs Matter. So I think it's important that you surround yourself with people who are doing amazing things and who stir you to do amazing things, you know, who stretch out on their brilliance, and they allow for God to use them in a number of different ways. Look at Elle. She is now doing her thing with working on the athletes and all of that. And it's a gift that she got to where she sees bodies and physiology and all that completely different than the medical space. And it's because of that, that that's her secret sauce, to be able to get in and work on people in ways that she regenerates tissue like overnight. I know that for a fact because I saw what she did for my sister, you know, who for 3 years hadn't danced. And after she got worked on, 2 days worth of sessions, she's now doing releves and doing all the stuff, wearing heels again and all that, instead of being in orthotics. So it's things like this. Look at Thomas. He's got this thing with water, okay? And that sounds a little flippant when I say it that way, but he makes the complexities of water sound very easy, but they're very complex. And so he goes all over solving people's water, municipal water problems, and drilling and where you find water on land and all of that, and then all of the logistics around that. That, to me, is absolutely amazing. And here it is. You're the hub to where, because of who you are, it pulls together this eclectic motley crew of brilliant content creators, facilitators, virtual event producers, and media architects and things like that. It pulls everybody together, and we all collaborate, and nobody is stepping over each other. We all are gleaning from each other, building our businesses, getting better personally and professionally. That's what you get when you're inside a virtual summiteers. So I have to say publicly, thank you for the space that you create for us to do what we do and to be who we are, and to be able to come and just relax and talk about geeky stuff to where other folks get to build their businesses because they get to listen to a bunch of geeks talking about stuff that they love. It's great.
Yeah, that's true. Like, even though we're there to talk about events, we talk about a lot more than just events. Everybody does their own thing, and everybody has, like, a multitude of things that they're into. Like, you should ask Thomas about home remedies. You should.
Absolutely. And he sent us all, like, some honey, which was really good, by the way. I was not happy when my family got into my honey. I've got like a little corner left, and I'm like, yeah, I know honey can last forever, so I'm keeping that corner so that, you know, when I'm ready for it, I can, but you know,
mine's
growing
gone.
Growing boys, you know.
Well, Jason, I want to say thank you for doing this series with me. I really appreciate you doing it because I know you're busy and you make time to hang out and provide great content. You shared the content. Other people found you through us finally getting out the live stream and having it on YouTube. So, yay for that also.
Well, for so you, again, always my friend. For you, yes.
So, again, anybody who wants to reach out to the Jason Hodge, you can find him on YouTube. If you want to know about the content that he provided for this four-part series, you can probably find it on his channels or Talk Virtual's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
they can go free to jasonhodge.biz, and that should take them to, I think it's a resource page or something, or my digital card. Yeah.
Oh, and don't forget about the BSAP. So where can they find the BSAP? Yes. Because that's a really good thing. If they're going to reach out to you, they should really see that.
Yeah, they should. Let me see. I think that's asktjh.live/BSAP. Yeah, I think that'll do it. Yeah. I mean, if you can check that real quick, I think that was it. I should have had that in my brain already, right? I need to program that in. But I think it is asktjh.live/BSAP.
Mm-hmm. So no worries, because I'm going to repurpose this, and that'll most likely be in there. And again, if you reach out to me, I have checklists for all the talks, events that I did with Jason. And I'm talking about the BSAP, and I'm talking about how you can reach out to Jason. So reach out to me. Let me know that you want the checklist so you can reach out to Jason. Again, you can find him on LinkedIn, and you can get the checklist from me. So.
And let me tell you, and anybody who comes through Erica, I've got a special bonus for you. So Let me know that you came through Virtual Summiteers, because Virtual Summiteers gets a different type of gift, if you will. Yeah, so got you covered. Mm-hmm.
But I will say that the Virtual Summiteers is our peer group / mastermind. But everywhere I've been putting these videos out, it says, you can't see it now, it says Talk Virtual.
Oh, Talk Virtual. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Talk Virtual is another one of Erica's entities, which is absolutely amazing. And we do talk virtually. See, we're talking now. So definitely just Talk Virtual or Virtual Summiteers, whichever one. Just let me know that you came from Erica, okay? And I got something for you. All right.
Well, I appreciate your time, Jason. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great one, Erica. Thanks for having me.
Bye, y'all. Stop the live stream. Yeah.